Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
There is golf today, a major PGA Championship.
You know, the other majors, they've got to get their own song. We need a PGA Championship song. We need a U.S. Open song. The Masters has this theme music. We need the other ones, too.
Let me think. Well, I mean, it goes to different courses, so it can't be true. All right. Why don't you put something together? You're an artiste. You're a musician. Sit down with Bulldog and hash something out. Cozy'll join us. Brian's on the Wester Hotline because we got a PGA Championship to talk about. Mr. Cozy'll, how are you today? What's happening in your world?
Good morning. I know the U.S. Open and NBC use like a Yanni track for their U.S. Open, British Open coverage. But you're right. I don't know if there's an official PGA Championship song. So I think, Jeremy, there's where you're your music stardom could be made right there. Come up with a good theme.
Make a ton of money. Sell the rights. You could be set. You know what, Brian? I want to ask you about the fans. Okay, it's the first major of the year, so it's the first major without fans. And I know we asked you about this maybe back when they had the return with their first tournament down in Texas. The idea of golf with no fans, I've been fine with it. I've been fine with all these sports dealing with no fans. But I saw two comments this week. One, Tiger Woods said he doesn't care. He's fine without fans because everybody's always, you know, they're noisy around him. They're always reaching out to grab him and touch him and all that. And then Rory McIlroy said he thinks his game is worse because there are no fans, that he's having trouble focusing. What do you think the no fans fans thing would be like when it comes to the major the next 4 days?
Yeah, I'm curious to see if maybe it will miss it here, maybe than some of these other spots. The other tournaments, while they have had plenty of the big names playing, obviously a major has a different feel and a different look. And one of the things I think that we do love is that reaction that you'll get sometimes. I really haven't, and I've been watching a lot of golf, I really haven't sat there and thought too much about, oh man, I wish the fans were here. Or, and I'm not going after anybody, but I feel like I'm not missing anything. The golf has been, to me, I think, just as good as it would have been. But I'm sure the atmosphere, part of sports that we love, is the atmosphere of it. It would be better with it. I understand both arguments that, you know, for Tiger, sometimes part of what's tough for him is that it's exhausting. I mean, Howard, you remember even at Oak Hill when you tried to follow him for a few holes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's work. And, you know, we're not playing. We're just walking around. You know, you're following. For him, him and his caddy, trying to the logistics, like sometimes it is tough to do. So I understand that. McIlroy is a guy that does, I think, feed off the fans. He gets his strut going when he's feeling good. So maybe he needs that feedback to feel like that.
Yeah.
Some comment I heard this week, too, from players that haven't won majors yet. They said they kind of feel more like practice rounds. So they said the pressure of maybe winning my first major maybe won't be as amplified with the crowd not there. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll be easier to win. So, you know, maybe for a guy this week, if someone goes through and wins their first major, maybe not having 10,000 people on a hole, or, you know, maybe on the 18th hole where they've collected to be 25, 30,000 people, maybe that pressure of finishing the deal, maybe you won't feel as, you know, huge of an obstacle to overcome for some of these guys that are maybe trying to win it for the first time.
The other side of the coin is Brooks Koepka, not trying to win it for the first time, but trying to three-peat. What are his chances of doing that? How does he match up with this course?
Well, I mean, to do three in a row would be obviously incredible to do. It's only been done a couple of times in the history of golf, but to win the same major three times in a row. This course is going to have the toughest conditions that they've had so far this year. Probably the most similar, I would say, is the Memorial in Columbus, but Koepka was in contention there. And obviously last week he had a chance to win as well in another, I would say, tougher conditions course at the World Golf Championship event in Memphis. And, I mean, he hit his drive into the water on 18th. Had that maybe stayed in play, he would have had a chance to possibly send to a playoff. So I think his game's peaking. We've seen, of course, and he's made comments in the past that he really, really gets up for these majors. Like, this is, you know, for him, this is the thing. And to try to do something historic like win three in a row, I'm sure that's something that he would love to have his focus be on. So I think he's definitely playing well. You know, if you said, give me three guys that are playing well enough to win right now, he would definitely be on my list with how he's playing right now.
You're jumping ahead on my list of questions, Cozy. I haven't gotten to the favorites yet. Because I have to get the obligatory Tiger question in with you. So a two-parter here. What are his chances? And what the story about him maybe changing his putter, is that significant?
And if I can add in here, you ask what his chances are. I saw a story about the gambling side of this. Tiger always has odds that are kind of near the top because people like to bet Tiger. Mm-hmm. And right now, I think the last I saw, he was like 30-1. Like, not even you don't even have the usual bets coming in on Tiger. It's almost like he has faded off significantly, even from the people that just bet him just to bet him.
Yeah. For Woods, I mean, you're right. He's always higher because they want to adjust the line so they don't take a killing if Woods ends up winning because so many people bet him. But, I mean, right now, and these are good golfers, but they're definitely not probably what the fringe golf fan even maybe would even think about betting. Like Colin Morikawa and Patrick Cantlay, you know, these are guys that right now have a better Vegas odds in terms of winning. I think you're going to hear the words marine layer enough this week that you're going to get annoyed by it.
Okay, marine layer.
Yes. If you remember from the U.S. Open last year when Gary Woodland won at Pebble Beach, because this is in San Francisco, because it's cool temperatures this week, they said that the clouds and the fog and the lingering, as they say, marine layer is going to be hanging around. Tiger's been wearing sweaters and jackets all week. We know his back has had issues in colder weather because he just doesn't get loose.
Yeah.
He's played once, and he played at the Memorial, and he made the cut on the number. I would say it was an okay, I guess, return. But we've seen him play once since February in a four-round tournament. I can't think at all that we could consider him to, like, legitimately have a chance to win. The new putter, it allows him to kind of change the weighting. It's a little longer. I know sometimes because of where this course is and because of the conditions, the greens might get a little slower. So this is maybe would allow him to maybe make some more adjustments. He's used his old Scotty Cameron putter forever that he's won 14 of his 15 majors with. So I guess maybe a little, you know, is this something just maybe psychologically that he feels like can help him have a little edge? I don't know. But just the conditions, we've only seen him once. I mean, it would be obviously great, you know, for him to maybe make a run at getting major 16. But I can't realistically sit here and make a strong argument to think that maybe he could win this thing.
Well, you gave me a good question. So who are your favorites to win this thing?
Well, Koepka is definitely there that I mentioned already. Mm-hmm. Justin Thomas is just playing lights out. I mean, he's won three times this year. He won last week. I mean, winning back-to-back doesn't necessarily happen quite often. But, I mean, I'm not saying that any shot he takes this week is going to be affected by the fact that he won last week. So I think he would have to be there. If I'm going to throw one more name in there, too, you know, that maybe is a little down the board, it would be Tony Finau. He has had a really good year. he's been asked so often about not being able to close and finish. He's had so many top tens, but not really a win. And I think he's got the talent. He's got such great length off the tee. He actually said that he's been inspired by DeChambeau's length, that he's kind of taken that approach a little more too. So he's hitting it as far as he ever has. And he's been right at the doorstep three or four times so far during this restart. So I'll put him in there along with the big names of Koepka and Thomas.
What about DeChambeau's chances on this course?
You know, he said he can drive the first hole, which is a par four, just based upon the angle that he's going to take. So I don't know. I mean, the rough is going to be more penalizing here than it has been in any of these other PGA Tour events where he tries to maybe take different angles and take different approaches. So I got to think at some point that might catch up to him, that if he decides, hey, I'm going to make this hole have my own design in terms of how I'm going to play it. But, I mean, he has been playing very, very, very well. So I would still think he has a chance to win. He hasn't come through in a major yet. He's clearly talented enough. This could be his week, definitely, too. I wouldn't be surprised with just kind of what he's been doing. He'll be another interesting topic, I'm sure, for sure, this week with, you know, they'll have mics everywhere, and they're going to broadcast every shot through ESPN Plus and everything. So at some point, I'm sure they'll catch some sort of conversation that he'll get himself back into the news.
Yeah, and Brian, like, golf has – I don't want to say golf has a decision to make here, but golf should want DeChambeau to win at least a major. You know, he's already polarizing as it is. He's beaten some courses before. The talk of making the rough really thick to, you know, to Bryson proof it, or to even, you know, all the big hitters. At some point you want to let him get enough of a resume for the polarization to be worth it. And, you know, if they find a way, if they thicken up the rough and they make it harder for him, if he just kind of goes away, golf might want to say, like, actually, let's bring him back, because, you know, he's interesting to people, whether you root for him or against him. So it's going to be a little bit of a dance they do here.
I agree. I mean, the reason that somebody like Phil Mickelson is so popular is because he's got personality. And, you know, Tiger, in some sense, for a long time, people were always curious because you didn't get much from him. DeChambeau is so interesting. And a lot of people are interested to see his fascination of, okay, I want to see how this guy actually swings this hard, and can I see him hit a 400-yard drive? But there's also people that don't like him. But I think that's okay. I think for the PGA Tour to have, I don't know if villain is the right word, but to have that personality where maybe he rubs people the wrong way, I think that's okay for the sport.
He brings out not just fans, but, you know, Koepka at last week's tournament points to the ground and made a comment about there being an ant. So he's bringing out reactions in other players, which is also a good thing.
Yeah. Koepka in the past has kind of chirped at DeChambeau for his pace of play. And then, yeah, you're right, last week he said something about the ants, referring to DeChambeau, I think a day or two earlier, asking for relief because he thought there were fire ants around his ball. So,
that's in the rule book. That's allowed.
That's right. Yes, an animal hole you are allowed relief from. However, an ant 6 feet away from your ball, I'm not sure. But you know what? He knows the rules. He's trying to utilize them in every capacity that he can, even though he was unsuccessful in that attempt. I mean, when have we seen golfers like kind of get after each other? Not much, they usually stay pretty close to the vest in terms of just being always positive about each other. So I think it's, you know, as we said, it makes it more interesting. These guys, you know, in terms of their personalities, the more they open up, the more we hear from them, I think the more people would want to tune in. So I think DeChambeau, and I still don't even know if I like him or if I don't like him, but he's making it more interesting to watch. So I'm all for that.
Yep. What's on tap Saturday morning, tee to green?
So we are going 2 hours, and we're actually bumping our time. We're going 9 to 11 this week, so we'll be a little later for our West Coast listeners, obviously.
You know, of course, you got to adjust. Right.
That's right.
Makes sense.
Tournament's out in San Francisco. Yeah, no, just we're going 2 hours, and just for some scheduling logistics, we're going 9 to 11. So we'll be talking about that then, and obviously I'll talk with you again tomorrow morning.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Kozier. Have a fine day. Enjoy all the golf.
Okay, thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.